Next week is Father's Day. I don't know if you knew that. This is a pre-Father's Day message. One of the tough things when you preach on Mother's Day or Father's Day is that you only hit a small portion because we're not all mothers, right? And we're not all fathers. So what I'd like to do this morning is I would like to address every single one of you in this room because all of you are children. All of you have a father or mother, even if they've gone on. You are a child. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to speak to you specifically about what it means to be a grown-up child and talk to you about raising great parents. Have you ever thought about that? About what it takes to raise great parents. My parents joined here at First Baptist back in December, and they've gotten to know some of you. And one of the fun things for me is when some of you get to know them, they're great and godly, a great and godly man and woman that have been serving Christ their whole life. And you'll come to me and you'll say, I met your parents and they are wonderful. I know Jeff came to me and said that. And I said to Jeff, you should have seen them when I was born. They were a mess. And it's taken me 51 years to whip them into shape. Now, you laugh at that, and I'm really joking when I say that because you know I did not raise my parents. Now, I did build their character, didn't I? I did test their patience. I did do some really bad things, you know, especially when I was in middle school. You can ask them about that. But I know that there's things that God used me to develop their maturity, both me and my younger brother, Chuck. And so, but really, what is our responsibility as adult children? Because we have a pretty good sense, pretty good guidance that when we're a young child, we know the Bible's really clear on that. And we also know the Bible's very clear about how we care for our parents as they get older and they can't care for themselves. But what about in that middle time? How do we raise great parents? What is our responsibility as an adult child? And we see that here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And I know it's been our tradition lately to stand. I know you just sit down, but you want to stand as we read the Word of God? This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Let's read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a good, long life in the land. You may be seated. So we look at that passage, and the very first thing it says is, it says, you know, children, obey your parents. And that's a difficult one. You think, well, you know, is Paul telling us that we've all got to do what our parents tell us to do? You've got to look closer at this passage, and you realize when you go behind this passage that what Paul has done here is the first part of this passage is an application, a specific application of a principle. And the application of the principle is that Paul is not talking to all of us in this first verse. He's not talking to all of us, but the word that he uses is young children. So the application at the very beginning is when he's talking to children, he's talking to you children who are still at home and you're young. He's talking about young children. The Greek word technon is the young children. And that probably could be a teenager that's living home, or a 2-year-old that's living at home, or a 6-year-old that's living at home, under the authority of their parents. And it is an application of a broader principle that is to honor your father and mother, which just happens to be the fifth commandment. Out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. So for us adults, before we can understand the fifth commandment, this broader principle We've got to understand what it doesn't tell us to do. And this may shock you, because the scripture here doesn't say that I must love my parents. Write that down. There's a place for you to write that down in your outline. It doesn't say that I must love my parents, especially when you're thinking about love in terms of affection. It doesn't say, write this down, that I must trust my parents. It doesn't say I must admire my parents. It doesn't say, for all of us as adults, it doesn't say I must obey my parents. He's saying, well, what do you mean, Craig? Well, first of all, when we're looking at what it says to honor your father and mother, it's a commandment. I mean, the Ten Commandments are 10 principles you're supposed to build your whole life on. They're absolute principles. They're timeless. They're true for everybody at all times. When Jesus came, he fulfilled them. He filled them full of meaning. He didn't obliterate them. And so when I say it doesn't mean that you have to love your parents in sense of feeling affection for them. If you've got wonderful parents who are honoring God, you can love them. But if you've got parents who are completely messed up, it's hard to have affection for someone who's really messed up. And so the Bible is not saying that you have to have love in terms of affection for your parents as you become an adult. Another thing, it doesn't actually command us to trust your parents, because some parents, and there's probably some of you in here who have parents that can't be trusted. It doesn't command us to admire our parents, because in that case, it might actually be denying the truth, because there's some people that aren't admirable. And it doesn't say to adults, obey your parents, because the Bible wouldn't lay that down as an eternal and absolute rule, because your relationship with your parents, it changes, doesn't it? I mean, it changes. It's different. Your relationship with your parents is different when you're 2 years old, or when you're 10 years old, or when you're 12, or maybe you're a teenager, or even when you're 18 and getting ready to go off to school. And it's different for a young adult who's launched, and it's different for this 51-year-old. My relationship with my parents is different than when I lived at home. And so there's an adjustment. And so Paul would say to the children that are still in their home, you know, obey your parents. This is clear throughout all of the scripture. He reiterates that in Colossians. But Paul also says in the chapter right before this, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, he says, there's a time that you must leave your father and mother and you cleave to your spouse, which means the Bible actually says there's a time in which that you get out from underneath your parents' authority and you launch. You know, that's one of the big challenges of 2017 and the years we're living in, is getting kids to launch, right? But I mean, this is what our role is to get them out from under our authority so that they grow up. And so the Bible, it says it's different as your relationship with your parents. So it doesn't say I must love my parents or trust them or admire them or obey them. But it does say, and write this down, it does say that I must honor my parents. This is a timeless principle. No matter who you are, no matter who your parents are, no matter what condition you're in, every child, young or old, must always, under all circumstances, honor their parents. And we have to distinguish what that means from all of those other things, or we can't get to that. So what does it mean? So what does it mean to honor your parents? If we're saying, okay, Craig, then how do I do that? Because I know as I look out in this auditorium, and I'm not going to make you raise your hands, some of you have wonderful, amazing parents that give great advice, that, they're not overbearing, they're not manipulating. You've got wonderful parents that will help you take care of your kids and help you raise your kids, and they give them back, you know, when they're all messed up, and they give them back to you, and they've got, you know, hyped up on caffeine and sugar, all of those kind of things. But some of you have parents on the completely other the other end of your life, where, man, I don't even know how to describe it, where it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, and it's just always a struggle. Some of you, it was from the time you were young, and you went through maybe even unspeakable things with your parents. And yet the Bible says that we still have to honor them. So how do we do that? Whether our parents are awful or wonderful, how do we do that? And the first thing that we do is that we value them. Write that down. The Hebrew word that's used for honor in Exodus chapter 20 is the Hebrew word kabed, which literally means, it means value, or it means weight. So when we're called to honor our parents, we're literally called to give them value or give them weight. It has to do with significance. So no matter who your parents are and what your parents have done, what the Bible is saying here as a principle, as a commandment, it's saying that I must treat them not lightly, and not dismiss them, but I must treat them as significant. It doesn't mean that they're going to give me good advice and I'm going to listen to it every time. It doesn't mean that I'm going to trust them. It doesn't mean I'm always going to feel affection for them. But it does mean that I see them as significant. I don't have to think that they're marvelous to do this. I don't have to confide all my problems in them. But I do have to treat them as if they are not insignificant. I can't treat them flippantly. I have to take them seriously. And say, okay, what does that look like? Give me some specifics. Well, let me tell you, it's going to be different for every single one of you. It is. Because for some of you, your parents have gone on. They've passed. And you've still got to find a way to honor them, whether they were awful or they're wonderful. For some of you, you're in a different place right now with where you are with your parents. Some of them, you're caring for them. Some of them, for some of you young adults, your parents are, they're 20 years older than you. They're still very active. And it's going to depend. For some of you, and for all of us, it's going to be treating them with courtesy and respect. If your parents are still alive, it always helps to ask for their opinion. Your parents have opinions? Raise your hand if your parents have opinions, okay? Well, ask them for it. Listen to it seriously. Even if you're not sure if you're going to take their advice, you could ask the parents in here, what's the one of the things that is one of the hardest things as you get older and your children get older? And they would tell you, it's when they just don't even acknowledge me. It's like they act as if I'm not even there. So ask for their opinion. You don't have to take their advice every time because you're out from under their authority. You could remember their birthdays. You call them even when you don't feel like it. And I think one of the real significant things that you can do is that you can allow them, this is tough, especially for those of you who had difficult parents growing up, you can allow them to see themselves in you. Sometimes we're so resentful about what they've done is we don't even want to let them see that they had some type of mark on us. And we demur that. But if we're looking at this principle, this commandment of honoring God in this way, then we would let them see themselves in us, and we would allow ourselves to make them look good. Because that's one of the greatest ways that you can honor your parents, You know, the struggle that we have in raising children is we're raising them up and we're just, you know, especially as believers. And we know the significance of raising up our parents and the kingdom impact that it has that we raise godly children. And so we're asking God, God, please, please, please don't let me mess them up, right? We're just praying that we wouldn't raise jerks, right? God, please, I want to raise godly children. And if they do mess up, it's not just them, it's you, isn't it? It's me. I feel it. But when God does something good in them and they shine, boy, I shine. If my kids do something right, it makes me look good. And that's one of the ways that we honor our parents is by living godly lives and glorifying God with our lives. And when they watch that, we need to let them, whether or not they were wonderful or awful, that we need to let them glory in that. Because it may be that all that your dad taught you is how to save money, you know. It may have been a dysfunctional relationship, but you're growing up and you learned how to save money from your dad, or you learned something else from your mom, even in that dysfunctional relationship, because the glory that you have and the work that God is doing in you is somehow contributed to you in you by your parents. And that's why when we're looking at all these things, you know, where I value them, I give them weight, I give them significance, because we didn't all have honorable parents, that's why it's so important for the next thing, and write this down, is that I forgive them. If you're a Christ follower, I don't have to tell you the importance of forgiveness for all relationships. But especially in your relationship with your parents. And learning to forgive is so important in learning to honor your parents. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, where Paul says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against one another. And it doesn't give us the Dr. Phil answer that you do that because it makes you feel better and it releases you. He says, no, he says, it's because just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. That's the reason that I do that. So I don't have to say, well, they, you know, it's because they don't deserve it. Well, did I deserve the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that he gave me? No. It was while I was still a sinner that Christ died for me, that he loved me. There's nothing in me that was good that made him go, oh, I need to die for Craig because, you know, he's really good. No. In the same way, I learned to forgive. There's a Leslie Fields did a book called Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, and she says, forgiveness has the power to travel back through time, not to airbrush the past, but to tell a truer story about what happened. Forgiveness has the power to travel back through time, not to airbrush the past, but to tell a truer story about what happened. And learning to retell the story of a damaged relationship with parents is so important in our relationship with God, in our relationship with our kids. And what we do is when we start to look in the past and we realize, you know, for some of even our wonderful parents that they didn't always get it right, right? When you're looking in the past, maybe with dysfunctional homes and maybe a mom or a dad, or maybe both that were dysfunctional, and you go back and you see it really was that bad. And you realize, okay, what about me? Do I look? I'm made of dust too. I'm wounded. Every one of us in here is wounded, and we look back, and instead of looking at our parents as wicked, we realize that they were wounded, a sinner in need of the hand and forgiveness and the grace and the power and the transformational power of God. And it can change our perspective of being able to go back and know the truth and realize that our parents did their best, but they themselves were deeply wounded. I told you I was going to embarrass my parents, and I can't, you know, do a message because I'm sure that there was times when I was growing up and my dad was preaching and he used me in the sermon, right? He would ask me permission, so I did. I asked him for permission, asked my mom and dad. I said, can I talk about this? And, you know, I really believe I learned to honor them and Barbara's parents by the way they honored their parents. I watched both my mom and dad honor their parents, and it's interesting as we become adults how we understand more about the dynamic of our parents' relationship with their parents and how helpful that is for us. My dad grew up without a father in his home. His dad left when my dad was 4 years old, and they didn't reconnect till he was an adult. And after my dad came to Christ. And when we lived overseas, you know, my dad and mom were serving a church in Honolulu, and so we were far from family. And every 4 years, we would travel back to visit family. And we would start in Miami, Florida, and we would drive all the way across to California because we had family and friends all the way across. It was a lot. My dad would plan it out, and he would show up right on time when he told people that he was going to be there. He's a planner. And it was only when I was adult that I knew about some of the difficult situation that my dad had with his mother growing up. And he said that he shared with us as adults about a time, because we just had good memories. We just had good memories. We didn't know. And there was one time that we were making this trip across, and my dad had called ahead to talk to my grandmother and asked her, you know, can we come and visit? And she said, no, you can't. I don't want to see you. And my dad, instead of getting into an argument, I think he had at this time, under the leadership of the Spirit of God in his life, said, whatever I did, it must have really hurt you. And she said, yeah, it did. She wouldn't tell him what it was. She said, but I still don't want to see you. And so we drove across the country, and he decided anyway, he was going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where she lived. And he stopped there and went up and knocked on the door and talked to her and asked her for permission again to come in and visit. And she agreed to come out to the car and to see us and to say hi. Now, all I remember about that is that I got to see my grandmother, right? You know, I got to see my grandmother. I still have a beautiful picture of my grandmother in my mind, of this, and of all the wonderful things that my dad told me about her. But I know now about the dysfunction. But he chose, rather than disparaging her to us, you know, saying, well, that's just your grandmother, you know, he honored her and acted in a forgiving way toward her. And so for me, I know from both myself and my brother that God used that in raising us. So in a sense, that's part of, you know, honoring your parents is how you're raising good parents. I also know that it was only through the work of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did in my mom and dad's life when they came to Christ that enabled them to do that. Wasn't by his own power. And I know that it modeled for my brother and me what it means to value or honor your parent. And I know that both my mom and dad, because of their relationship with Jesus Christ, the love and support of many godly men and women and churches and discipleship in their life, they both broke a cycle of dysfunction in their life, in their family. You know that's part of what God is doing in us right now. Because we all have wounded parents And the command is saying here that we honor our parents in such a way that God is able to break a cycle because we know the true picture of what happened. We don't gloss over it. We don't say it wasn't important, that it wasn't hurtful. It wasn't devastating, but the fact is that your parents were the first representation of God in your life. And even though they may have done a lousy job, some of them did a great job, but even if they did a lousy job, you give them value and you give them respect because of what lies behind them, which is the throne of God itself. And the relationship between your parents and you is a picture of your relationship between God the Father and you. And God wants to release you from your anger towards them. He wants to release you from your need to please them or your need for approval. And the only way to be free to honor your parents is if you're able to look beyond them and say, no, it's God's verdict in my life. It's my Father in heaven's approval and only his approval that I need. It's the only way that you'll be able to value them. The only way that you're going to be able to do this, to value them and to forgive them, is the third thing, and if you'd write this down, is that I need to know my true Father. I need to know my true Father. And the only way that that is possible is through Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us this, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. See, that's what God is really after in you. It's not just about parents and children. It's not just about all the other things that are going on. What he's saying is for you to really, whether you've got wonderful parents, for you to be able to really love your parents, to honor your parents. For the wonderful ones, it's easy to love them, right? But for you to be able to honor parents that even aren't honorable, he says, the only way you're going to be able to value them, the only way you're going to be able to forgive them is if you experience the true love and grace of the Heavenly Father, the one who loves you, who is, as we sang right before this, he is the good, good Father. You need to be able to look at your parents, great or awful, said, once you were God to be to me, but no more. Now God in heaven is my Father, so I can be free to value you and honor you as I should. I found a wonderful story. Many of you know of Jonathan Edwards, a great English preacher, and part of his great reputation was his family. An impact that his family had on history and on the kingdom. And when he died, it just happened that his family was traveling and only one of his daughters was there. All the rest of his children and his wife weren't there. And he told his daughter, he says, I know I'm not going to last the night out. And so he turned to his daughter, Lucy, and he said, write this down. Because he wanted to be able to give this message. And he wrote something beautiful for his wife. And then he said, I want you to tell your other brothers and sisters that it's about time they look to a father who does not die. Yeah. The day you know that is the day that your relationship with your parents will be transformed and changed. The day you stop letting them be God in your life is the day that you'll finally be able to honor them and forgive them, because you're able to say, I've met the real Father. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. He loves me with an everlasting love. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me, even while I was awful, even while I was still a sinner. And I know that he's in charge of my life. And I'm not afraid. As we come to a time of response, I'm going to ask Keith to come on up here and begin playing. He's going to lead us in singing Good, Good Father again. I think that's an opportunity for us to sing that with greater meaning, and it's actually as a time of response. But for some of you this morning, and I apologize that my message may have caused more pain than comfort, and that's not my intention. But when we have that pain, we bring it to Him. We bring that woundedness to Him. Because it's only through His power that we can respond in a godly way. Otherwise, on our own, we just can't do it. We just can't do it. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Would you stand up? I've asked a couple of our leaders and their wives, as Pastor David Fallon's out and Pastor JD is doing training right now, I've asked a couple of our leaders and their wives, they're going to come here and they're going to be available as we sing this morning. If you want to come and you want them to pray for you and for your family, it doesn't mean that your family's messed up if you come up here. Nobody's going to be looking at you, but they would love to pray for you. You may see some other godly families that are close to you, and you just go grab them and say, as everybody else is singing, would you pray? Would you pray for my family? Would you pray that I would be able to honor my father and my mother? Would you ask them to pray for that? Let's bow together. If you're struggling right now with your relationship with your parents, would you ask God to help you to honor them? If you're still putting your parent in the place of God, would you trust God today to be your real father? Would you say to Him, as much as I know how, God, I want to trust you as my creator, as the one who sent Jesus to die on the cross to take my sin in His body so that I could become a child of God, so that you, God, could be my true father. To all who received Him, He gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. In Jesus' name.